of Job, chapter 8, we want to think about, where it says, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. As we've mentioned to you already this year, the Free Presbyterian Church has its 70th anniversary. The birthday of our denomination was the 17th day of March, 1951. It's a date to be remembered, a date to be known by all in our congregations. That was when the denomination was officially constituted there in Cross Gar. And just for a short time this morning, we want to remember those early days, especially want to emphasize some of the truths, some of the principles that brought the denomination into being, some of the truths and principles that should always be remembered by our denomination, some of the truths and principles about the founding, the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church. So the title we've taken is How the Free Presbyterian Church Was Born 70 Years Ago. The first thing that I'll emphasize to you is supplications. Can I remind you, it's a biblical principle that every work for God begins in the prayer meeting of the church. You think of the book of Acts, it's a great example of that. The book of Acts starts in the prayer meeting. So I take the opportunity this morning just to remind you of that, to urge you to come to the prayer meeting, be a faithful, regular attender at the prayer meeting, and when you come, we want to encourage you to take part in the season of prayer. And it's true to say that the Free Presbyterian Church began in the prayer meetings. There were prayer meetings held in the old Ravenhill Church in September, October 1949. Now, as you remember that, keep in mind that Dr. Paisley was only 23 years of age, just a young person, the age of some in this meeting here this morning. And I pray that that might encourage our young people. As you think of that, I pray it will encourage all of our young people to see that God uses young people in his service. God uses young people to do something new for him. There's a man in the old Ravenhill Church at that time called Bob Scott. Bob had a burden for open-air meetings in the Corn Market area of Belfast. He mentioned them to Mr. Paisley, and Mr. Paisley said, we'll have to pray about that. We'll have to have special seasons of prayer. So they started to pray. There was just three of them. And then a fourth man was added. The first weekend in October 1949, they kept on praying. John Douglas was just a lad of 16. You remember when he was here testifying for us? He went into great detail, particularly the first time a couple of years ago. Went into great detail about the prayer meeting. We encourage you to listen to that again. But because of his age, he had to go home. The rest prayed on through the night. And that, men and women, is how the power of God came down upon the life and ministry of Dr. Ian Paisley. Those prayer meetings in that autumn of 1949, they changed the religious history of this province, the religious history of Northern Ireland. The same is true the local congregation here in Armagh, that this congregation was born out of prayer meetings that were held in the Elam Church in College Street, in the Watson home, before and during that great gospel mission. So it stresses, men and women, how vital the prayer meeting is, how vital prayer is in the work of God, how vital it is if we want revival, if we want to see again, experience again the blessing of those early days, we need to give ourselves to prayer. As the Savior said, tarry until you be endued with power from on high. And the idea there is to tarry in the prayer meeting, seeking God and pleading with him for that power to come down upon us. So supplications. The second principle or truth that I'll emphasize about those early days was soul winning. The Bible says of Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Barnabas was a great soul winner, used to bring many to the Savior. And Dr. Paisley was the same. Won many to the Lord. As a young man, he was mightily used as an evangelist all across this province. When he went to Rathryland, round about that time, 1949, they had to move the meetings into the local Presbyterian church. Such were the numbers that were attending. They needed the building to accommodate the congregations. Remember, we had Vi Dawson testify for us. Vi's dad, David McGaw, was an elder in our Dara church. He was at those meetings. He said that he remembered Mr. Paisley saying to one of the men, bring my sword, bring me my sword. He thought to himself, what sort of a preacher is this that needs a sword? He had never heard the Bible described in that way. But there were many such missions held by Mr. Paisley across the land. He was being used, his ministry was being blessed. It was in that backdrop, that background, that he was invited to Cross Gar to hold a gospel mission in February of 1951. The Lasara Church had approved the use of their church hall in order to accommodate the people that would be attending. But the Presbytery of Down stepped in and opposed the use of the church hall. They overruled the decision of the local elders, and they suspended those elders who opposed their decision on that matter. The mission, of course, went ahead, not in the Presbyterian church, but in the local mission hall. 94 souls came to Christ. That was followed by a mission down in Cabra, what is now Ballymoney. Cabra was out in the country. That's where the Ballymoney congregation commenced. It was the third congregation, started in the same way, gospel mission, 100 souls converted. Rasharkin was the fourth. There was a mission where 40 people came to the Saviour. So there were great missions, great times of soul winning. And the same is true here in Armagh. The witness in this city started in exactly the same way. Armagh was the 12th congregation formed of the denomination. Imagine that, just 12. The first in this county of Armagh, formed following a mission in the tent just over Barrack Hill, 6 weeks long. Up to 800 attended. Some here this morning remember that gospel mission. 107 came to Christ. This congregation was constituted in the tent on the last Lord's Day morning. The Tullyvallen congregation, the neighboring congregation, there had been missions held in Newtown, Darkley. Dr. Cook preached at some of those missions, particularly the meetings in Darkley. And in the late 1960s, men and women, that was being repeated over and over. Dungannon, Portadown, Tandragee. Missions were being held. Souls were being saved. The revivalists in those days, nearly every month, the front page was giving reports on missions that were being conducted and congregations that were being formed. Mr. Paisley moved down to Ballymena with his family when he was just a young boy. Remember, his dad had been the Baptist pastor here. He took the call to the Hill Street congregation down in Ballymena, and he went to his home town in 1975 and held that great mission in the town hall in Ballymena. 350 souls converted. Just think of that, men and women. 350 souls. You ask, why is the Ballymena congregation the size it is today? That's the reason. Because of the blessing of God upon that gospel mission. So this denomination was born out of evangelism, born out of gospel missions, the like of which I have described to you this morning. Soul winning has always been the mark of this denomination. So pray for that burden. Pray that you be used in that way. Pray that God will be pleased in his grace and mercy to let us see those days again. The third principle I'll mention is separation. Dr. Paisley had been pointing out the errors in the Presbyterian Church. That was one of the reasons why the Down Presbytery opposed him coming and using their building there at Lasara. They were unsaved ministers, and they were explaining away the great truths, the great passages and teaching and statements in the Word of God. The worst of those Presbyterian, modernizing Presbyterian ministers was a man called J. Ernest Davey. He taught in the Assemblies College. Imagine a modernist like that teaching the young ministers for the work of the ministry. He was tried for heresy, but the General Assembly backed him by a vast majority. There were many ecumenical services. Remember, the whole idea of ecumenism is union with Rome. And that was the drive in those days in particular. The major denominations were all in the World Council of Churches. It was an ecumenical body. Locally here in Newtown, in the 1970s, the priest went to the Church of Ireland. The Presbyterian minister was present. Many of the founders of the congregation in Tullyvallen left those churches at that time, started to come here, and as a result of that, the congregation there was formed. So there was separation from error. That's why many Christians left those churches, came to the Free Presbyterian Church. If you think of Cross Gar after the mission, they thought of the new converts, those 94 babes in Christ. They felt we can't send them back to the church, to the congregation that had opposed the gospel. So they made that a matter of prayer in the old Ravenhill Church. Again, I highlight to you the importance of prayer in those early days. It was a day of prayer and fasting. The people were burdened for separation. So the decision was taken to form a new Presbyterian denomination. This is how Dr. Paisley summed it up. What was decided after a lot of consultation and prayer was that the time had come for a new Presbyterian denomination to be born in Northern Ireland, which would be absolutely outside the World Council of Churches, which would be militant in its evangelism, and which would seek to conserve the blessing we were experiencing. So the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster was born, constituted in the town of Crossgar in County Down on St. Patrick's Day 1951. Crossgar was the first congregation, then Ravenhill. There was opposition from some of the members of the Ravenhill Church at that time to joining the new denomination. Mr. Douglas played a major part in that, even as a young lad, speaking up. The things that he said that day bore great influence. Again, he told us a little about that when he gave us testimony. After Ravenhill, there was Cabra, or Ballymoney, Resharkin, Mount Merion, Newton Abbey, or White Abbey as it was then, Port of Ogie, Dunmurray, Coleraine, Limavady, Sandown, and then Armagh, the 12th. A separatist denomination had been formed. You know, whenever W.P. Nicholson heard that they'd made Ernest Davey the moderator, that modernist minister, the moderator of the General Assembly, he made that great statement, "Go and tell Ian Paisley to preach," on that great text in Revelation 18, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her plagues." And that message has been preached constantly and faithfully since that time, and it needs to be declared today more than ever. You think of the word free. Why are we free? Free Presbyterian. It's because we're free from the ecumenical movement. We're free from the charismatic movement. And brethren and sisters, let that ever be the case. The New Testament is clear. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Paul's words to the Ephesians, have no fellowship. Not some, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So let us commit ourselves again afresh to those great truths and to those great commands that are found in the pages of God's word. Another mark or characteristic of those early days was suffering. Do you remember what the book of Acts says about the early church? They departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. The early Free Presbyterians suffered in a way that we could never imagine, for their stand and for their faithfulness to the Lord. The burning bush on the pulpit fall here, the carpet at the front of the church, the historic emblem of Presbyterianism. The burning bush symbolizes God's people suffering, going through the fires of persecution, and yet being preserved. The bush that burned but was not consumed. Ardens sed verens. That's the Latin motto, the Latin words at the bottom, burning but flourishing. And in those early years of this denomination, there was persecution. Think of the words of our text, the beginning was small, but the Lord preserved the testimony, and it's been greatly increased. The Lord preserved that little work and blessed it and flourished it. You think of someone cross gar, they lost business, were spat upon because they identified with that fledgling new congregation and denomination. In later years, some were imprisoned. The most famous was in 1966. It's interesting, the late Dougie Hutchison and Dr. Paisley were in the Crumlin Road prison together for their stand for the things of God. Dr. Paisley would have loved a drink of lemonade, no lemonade in the prisons in those days. They made an arrangement, Dougie got out first, the Dougie would go to the corner shop and buy some lemonade, and they would throw it over the wall, the prison wall. They agreed a spot, throw it over the wall. But the prison officers thought that they were being petrol bombed when they saw the bottles coming up over the walls. But the most famous imprisonment was 1966. They had protested the General Assembly. That was an annual event, almost in those days. In 1966, the representative of Eamon de Valera was present at the General Assembly. The protesters were marching round. The police stopped them. And when they stopped them, and remember, they actually stopped the protest. They said then it was an illegal assembly. The police had approved the march. It was a peaceful protest. But the leaders were charged with behavior likely to cause a breach of the peace. And they wouldn't sign the bail bond, because to sign the bail bond would have silenced them. So they went to prison. Mr. Paisley, Mr. Wiley, Mr. Foster, for 3 months in the Crumlin Road jail. Terence O'Neill, the Prime Minister of Northern Ireland at that time, triumphantly declared that Paisleyism was dead. How wrong he was. The church flourished during those 3 months of imprisonment. So remember, brethren and sisters, there's times you have to suffer for the Lord. You have to suffer for your faithfulness to him. Paul said to young Timothy, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And when those times come, I encourage you to stand firm, stand faithful. As we have thought today of his faithfulness to us, may God give us grace to be faithful to him. One other thing I'll mention, and that's the struggles. The book of Nehemiah can be summed up with two words, building and battling. And that, brethren and sisters, has been a summary of the whole Free Presbyterian witness, the whole Free Presbyterian testimony, but especially those early years. They set about in those early years to build churches, to build up the work of God. But there was also battles, often with the authorities. Many of the local authorities didn't want a Free Presbyterian witness or a Free Presbyterian church in their area. Some of you know the story. You've heard Mr. Paisley tell the story. Some of you remember when they wanted to put the portable hall up on the Mall between the Gospel Hall and the First Presbyterian Church, how the local authorities here sought to do all they could to oppose that, the purchase of this site. Mr. Paisley came and viewed it at night, bought the site, did the deal in the back of Tommy Flanagan's butcher shop, because he knew how much opposition there was to him coming to found a congregation here in this city of Armagh. Tully Fallon originally were refused planning permission when they wanted to put up their church building just out there in that rural community. The church in Toronto, they rented a church for their meetings when Dr. McClelland moved there from Tandragee. The council said there were going to be tennis courts made for the community where that church stood. So they came and they knocked down the church. The reason they knocked it down, they didn't want them to have it. They didn't want to give the Free Presbyterian Church a foothold in the city of Toronto. The very significant thing was that despite all they said, they never actually made those tennis courts. They never became a reality. There have been struggles, great struggles for the cause of the gospel. And there always will be, brethren and sisters, as long as we're in this world, and as long as we stand for truth and preach truthfully the faithful, or preach faithfully the truth of the gospel, you can be sure the devil will do all he can to oppose the work of God. Paul said to the Corinthians in that great chapter that we often read at the graveside, it finishes with that great exhortation to God's people, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. Just in closing, let me remind you, let me highlight it, especially for the young people in the gathering. The Free Presbyterian Church at its beginning was a young people's work. Dr. Paisley, 25. Dr. Douglas, 18. Dr. Cook, just 22. Remember, I said to you, his birthday was just last Monday, so 70 years ago. He was just a lad of 22 years of age. So they were just young people. But what made the difference was this. They gave their lives to the Lord, and he used them mightily. And the challenge for us, brethren and sisters, today is to do the same. On this, as we approach in a few days the 70th anniversary of the founding of this denomination, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Let me just read you a verse or two of a hymn, 555 in our book. When Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay, the Lord reached down his mighty hand and rolled the sea away. And it says in verse 3, when sorrows dark like stormy waves were dashing o'er my way, again the Lord in mercy came and rolled the sea away. And the chorus, a great exhortation from the Lord to our hearts at this time. Then forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and spray, with a conquering tread we will push ahead, and he will roll the seas away. May God bless his word. We'll just bow in prayer.